Yesterday we had Bob Kessling on, told some great John Ward stories, and another guy that we thought about without a doubt, any hesitation, is our next guest, Chris Lowe, ESPN's college football writer, guy we've known a long time, does an unbelievable job covering the sport, but he certainly has been around the Knoxville area for a long time, and we thought, you know what, Chris could probably tell some great John Ward stories too. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, it's been a while. Good to hear your voice. You obviously, when you got the news, it was just so sad to hear it on, what is today, Friday? I guess it was Wednesday night when we learned, and it was just, man, you just immediately, you just stopped in your tracks. No, and I know that, you know, he was 88, and this last year hasn't been great for him, but what did you think when you heard the news?
Well, honestly, I got a chance to go see John and Mark and visit with him. And I knew he was struggling, and it had been a very, very trying last year for him. So I was sad, but in some ways, guys, it was a blessing because it just, his quality of life the last several months, it just not been very good at all. And let me say this, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. I've had a chance over the last several years to get to know all the people at the Vol Network. And I go all the way back with the late Edwin Huster, who was a mentor to me, a great friend, and really the reason that I do The Nation every Sunday. That was his brainchild and an idea he came up with, and it's a show that's near and dear to my heart. But the folks at the Vol Network the last year, and I'm not going to name all their names because I'll leave somebody out, but those people, men and women, were angels for John Ward. The way they cared for him, they were over there every day, every night, catering to his every need. And that needs to be said, you know, and everybody connected to the Vol Network. I'm proud of them. I'm proud to call them all friends. And I think that tells you what John meant to so many people, but certainly the people that had worked alongside him and worked with him for so many years.
You know, Chris, it's interesting when you think about how long he did it at a prominent SEC school, you know, on that platform. He didn't want the attention, but certainly got the attention, but also wasn't afraid to talk to the fans and talk to people. But it's not like he was actively seeking attention. That's an interesting dynamic to juggle because he knew, you know, one, he was so good at his job. Because of basketball and football, it just made him on this gigantic platform. But it's not like he was out there seeking that gigantic platform. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, he was a very gracious man who lived in the spotlight. And would tell you, I mean, in conversations I had with John over the years, he wasn't real comfortable with that. He didn't like being interviewed, for instance. He was, in fact, he called himself almost goofy. Those were his words. But very gracious and loved the fans. And I asked him a couple times, you know, I said, John, do you fully grasp what you mean to all the people and all the Tennessee fans who've hung on your every word for all these years, generations of families? And he said, I think so. He said, I guess I don't really look at it in that light. He says, but what I can tell you, as I know what they've meant to me, the fans, and that's the way he looked at it. He loved the fans. He talked to the fans. He was a Tennessee guy through and through. It was his alma mater. He brought Tennessee football and Tennessee basketball to life as only he could. And he did it at a time, as you guys know, much of his career anyway, when very few games were on television. I mean, you go back to the 70s, and I'm a little bit different because I didn't grow up in Tennessee. I grew up in the Carolinas, just outside Charlotte. Was not really a Tennessee fan. My dad had gone to school at Tennessee. My introduction to the University of Tennessee was through John Ward in the mid-70s when Grunfeld and King played. And I never saw him. Living in the Carolinas, there were no games, Tennessee basketball games on TV. I think I saw him play maybe twice the whole time they were in school. But back then, you could get WNOX 99 AM at night, crackly, because the signal carried east, and you could get those games at night. And that was my introduction to Tennessee through John Ward and listening to King and Grunfeld. I never got to see him play, but because he was so good and so magical with his broadcast. I felt like I knew everything there was to know about Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld. And I just fell in love with him, with the business. And he was my inspiration. And thank God, guys, when I went to visit him in March, I got to tell him that face-to-face.
Chris Lowe on the line with us. It just felt big when you were listening to John Ward, right? The moment, the game, it felt big. And that's not easy to do, and he was able to do that. And as you just touched on, Chris, I was thinking more on the football side, but basketball really was what he loved doing more than anything, and he was really good at it.
Oh, as good as he was at football, I think he was even better at basketball. I agree with you wholeheartedly. The flow of the game, he had just such a cadence in the way he described the action. It just was so good. And, he'd tell you that was probably the sport that he enjoyed doing the best. And, you know, basketball, when you're traveling to every game, is more intimate than football. There's not as many players or coaches. And I think he got to know the coaches better, even some of the players on some of these road trips. And he was great. I mean, he's great in football and basketball. But, you know, I'm sure you guys and a lot of your listeners the last few days have done the same thing, but I found myself repeatedly over the last 2 days, you know, repeating some of his great phases. You remember when Howard Wood would play there and he'd go, Wood, good. You know, next click, pop, drop. I mean, he was just so good. Ray in the way. And every time I see Steve Ray, I kid him. He lives here in Knoxville now, or I talk to him. I asked him, I said, how many charges did you take when you were at Tennessee? And he said, I don't know, but my back fills every one of them. Here's a great story. Bob Kessling took Steve to see John in the last year over where John was staying here at the facility in Knoxville. And when they walked in, you know, Bob said, hey, John, it's Steve Ray. And in typical Ward fashion, because John had a great wit about him, a very sharp wit. He looked up at Ray and said, how many shots did you take in your career?
We're talking to Chris Lowe about the great John Ward. Chris, one of the things that jumps out to me, and I was fortunate enough at times, you know, I didn't see John very often, but when we did, there was on occasion we maybe had some time to discuss a lot of things. And George Plaster was a big part of that because he had known John for a long, long time. So I would just pretty much sit there and listen. But the innovation of the Vol Network, going back to when John first got there and Lindsey Nelson before him, was really interesting to hear, you know, how they put that whole thing together. They had a vision, how to sell it, all of that stuff. I mean, that's really a model that a lot of people have followed, true?
No question, and John will tell you that. You know, John, and let's give credit to Edwin Huster, and Edwin Huster's father before him, you know, the patriarchs of the Vol Network. They made it and took it statewide and regional. And really, John, when you talk about the Tennessee brand, I'm not just talking about Tennessee football or Tennessee basketball, but the UT and the Tennessee brand, broadening that brand, John Ward is as responsible as that as anybody. But he had a lot of visionaries with him. And John will tell you, Bob Woodruff, you know, the former AD, Doug Dickey, I mentioned the Husters and John, they took that, and you're right, they had a very specific plan, a very specific vision of the way they wanted to take that network and just make it statewide and broaden it was, you're right. It was a blueprint that many others followed. And I've said this repeatedly over the last 2 days. You could go to the seediest honky-tonk in Upper East Tennessee, to the swankiest country club in Memphis on a fall Saturday afternoon, and there was one constant, John Ward's voice on the radio, that wonderfully crisp, descriptive voice. And he was the eyes and the ears for so many Tennessee fans for parts of four decades.
And I've made this point a couple of times, Chris, being a guy that went to Vanderbilt. My mom grew up in Oak Ridge, so I knew about him when I came to school, but I was not tied to Tennessee. But I could listen to John Ward all day for reasons just you described it in basketball because he was so compelling. And I'll give you another example. It looked like NFL films. I don't know if it was NFL films, people shooting it, but another innovation, some of those recaps of a season or the week-to-week highlights where John Ward would narrate and you'd have, you know, the slow-motion replays very, very much in that genre. I could watch those all day. And, again, not being connected at all to the program. I just thought it was so well done.
Yeah, and that was him. He everything he did with perfection, and he did it exactly the way he wanted to do it, and he loved the video part of that. You know, guys, let's face it. John was part of a generation that I am so blessed to have grown up in of radio guys who were special, and you're so right. I mean, I grew up in the Carolinas. I really wasn't a Tennessee fan. I grew to sort of be a Tennessee fan, but I was more of a South Carolina, a little bit of, you know, Clemson, ACC basketball. But I loved scanning the radio dial at nights and listening to Larry Munson on WSB do Georgia games, listening to Kaywood Ledford do Kentucky games. You know, got it, a beauty. You know, John Ward doing Tennessee games, Jim Fife. Back in my town, every Saturday on one of the small AM stations, they had what they called a Pick-a-Dixie game. One week it might be Auburn, one week it might be Tennessee, one week it might be LSU or Georgia. And I got to listen to those guys, Jim Phillips at Clemson, Bob Fulton at South Carolina. In that era, in the 70s and the early 80s, those guys, those men were your link to college football and basketball. And traveling at night, and I loved it when the games were at night because you could get WSB where I lived. You could get WNOX. You could get the Louisville station and listen to Kaywood Ledford. I'm afraid that we'll never go back to that kind of generation as far as radio. And in some ways, it's a lost generation, but I'm so glad I was a part of it and had a chance to listen to those guys during that generation.
Yeah, that's a great point because it is something that you technically can still do in a lot of cases. And the one thing that I guess gives me hope, I do like how there is a really good motion on the part of you know, the NFL Network, the NFL Films, NHL Network, MLB Network, they like to work the radio calls in to the highlights with the local teams. I really like how they do that. And satellite radio, where, you know, you don't have to worry about the crackling, right? If you do get the satellite radio, you can get a lot of different games. So you can then at least get a taste of what some of the other radio calls sound like. Because I do think that is an art form that has to be appreciated. And I don't want it to go away because you're right. I don't know if it'll ever be the same as it was during – those generations of the John Wards and the names you mentioned.
Hey, guys, imagine the conversation that's going on in heaven right now among Larry Munson, John Ward, Woody Durham, Jim Fife, Kaywood Ledford. I'd love to hear that. Those guys were really the soundtrack, the sports soundtrack of my childhood.
Maybe they could do a sequel to Field of Dreams, but it's about broadcasters and not baseball players.
It was great. I tell you, John, and John was, as I said, gracious. I want to tell one more story, and I know you guys are probably up against it. And this is a very personal story. My mom, who passed away 3 years ago, when my brother was, we were kids. I was probably, I don't know, 15. He was 12. He won a free throw contest, a statewide free throw contest. A regional competition just happened to be held in Auburn. It was coinciding with an Auburn basketball game that day. Well, they played Tennessee. So we drove over there as a family. And I was already a big John Ward fan. My mom, the night before the game, called John in his hotel room where the team was staying. Just called the hotel and asked for his room. He answered. He told her, he said, listen, she said, my sons would love to meet you. Is there any way? He set it up, arranged for us to come to the arena early the next day, come out to where his broadcast station was on press row, and sat there and chatted with us for 15, 20 minutes. That was, for a 15 or 16-year-old kid, who was dreaming at that time of doing what John Ward was doing and had looked up to him. You guys don't know what that meant to me. And I shared that with him many times, and he would bring it up. Those are memories that I will cherish for the rest of my life. And we got to talk about that back in March. But that's the kind of guy John Ward was. And he was an inspiration for so many people and set such a high standard in our business. Whether you grew up in Tennessee, you grew up a Tennessee fan, whether you went to school at Tennessee, and he was certainly – that type of model and mentor for me.
Boy, well said. Well said. Much more than a broadcaster. Mm. No question about it.
Chris, really, really appreciate it. Thanks for doing this. Good to hear your voice again. Let's do it again soon.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Chris Lowe, ESPN college football writer. Great stories of John Ward. We'll come back with more of Darren and Donnie next on 102.5 The Game.